A new theatre experience called Racists Anonymous has been launched by director, writer, actor Tainui Tukiwaho. He's the co-founder of Te Pō Theatre, Aotearoa's only independent Kaupapa Māori-led theatre venue, and the Te Rehia Theatre Company. You might remember Tainui for his portrayal of Billy T. James in the movie Billy. Somewhat controversial. Racists Anonymous opens on May the 18th at Te Pō Theatre in Henderson in Auckland. And Tainui Tukiwaho is in our Auckland studio. Morena.
Morena, Kim. Tēnā koe.
It's a comedy, you're telling me.
It is a comedy.
Well, people will breathe a sigh of relief, but how have you managed to make racism funny?
I don't think racism in itself is funny, but it's interesting you mentioned Billy T. James, because the history of comedy, Iro Tui Te Ao Māori in the Māori world, was heavily influenced by the perspective that Billy laid down for other Māori performers. And one of the things that he did for us was he managed to let us laugh at ourselves. And in doing so, he opened doorways and built bridges between the some of the race relationship issues between Pākehā and Māori in Aotearoa.
I mean, not all Māori think that Billy T was okay.
No.
And it's all very well for him to make you laugh at yourselves, but it's not all right for a white guy to do that. It gets complicated, right? Why was it all right for him to do that?
I'm not sure. I don't know if it was all right. I do respect the opinions I'm speaking from the research that I had to do for that particular role. And there were a lot of Māori, some Māori in my family included, who didn't like being laughed at by Pākehā. But I think the bigger picture that I don't know if Billy saw or not was in doing that, there was quite a bit of healing. Something that he did mention, he was saying that the Jewish people in America did a good job at laughing at themselves and it helped them move past some of the negativity that they were feeling. He was mentioning that in reference to the time that he spent travelling around the world. And I think it has helped us.
So it's affectionate laughter, recognising character traits that may be lovable, but well, different.
Yeah, the quote that Billy had was, you think you're laughing at me, but I'm actually laughing at you laughing at me. And there's
right.
Power in that.
Okay, so are you carrying on with that theme in Racists Anonymous?
I'm carrying on with the idea that there's healing in humour. There's a lot of pain that floats around, and there's a lot of sensitivity that floats around in racism. And it makes me a little bit sad for the younger generation. I've been working with these younger actors, and for a while, maybe 5 or 10 years ago, I was looking at how powerful social media was and it meant everybody had a voice. And more recently, working with these younger actors and looking at my children, I'm finding that they don't get to have a voice. They get a very loud voice if they agree with everyone else. And if they don't agree 100%, then they get shut down very quickly. And there's a danger in that, especially when we're approaching topics like racism. Because if we're getting shut down before we get to talk about the things that hurt us, if we're talking about them in a different way, or not just hurt us, just sort of triggers, then we're not addressing a lot of the history that brought us here.
And is it a question of the young people of Rangitaki wanting to say what that they get shut down on?
Well, some of the rangatahi, or a lot of our rangatahi in our room, are just wanting to push boundaries, see how far they can go. They're just wanting to play with some of the things that they were called. And there's healing in that, being able to voice the racism that was placed upon them. We've found more interesting ways to do that than just stand in a room and find racial slurs and throw them at each other. There's more nuance to it than that, which is necessary. But I suppose I'm speaking more about the fear that they had approaching this initially, because of the way our world at the moment and the way conversation is guiding us at the moment, how it puts us into a bit of a box.
Polarizing.
Yeah, absolutely polarizing.
The Racist Anonymous, is that a thing? I mean, as in Alcoholics Anonymous?
Yeah, it is a thing. I forget the year, but a little while ago in America, a pastor opened a group called Racist Anonymous, and he encouraged people to use the 712, oh, sorry, this... a similar 12-step program, right, as Alcoholics Anonymous to support them. Mm-hmm. Now, at the time when we first saw this, we thought it was hilarious that
I don't know. I've sort of stifled a snort. But is it hilarious? I don't know.
I'm not. We thought it was funny to approach racism in that manner. And I don't want to whakaiti. I don't want to undermine any work. Because any work that helps shifts perspective of a person, if somebody has a perspective that has negative impact on somebody else, any work that changes that is positive, is necessary. Mm. But from our perspective, we thought it was quite funny. And then as we dug into it, asking our audience to sit in a circle like you might do at some sort of communal meeting, asking our audience to stand up and speak a mantra around acknowledging your racism, became quite fun that we all stood up and said, I am a racist, and that's okay because I'm trying hard every day and just trying to move that way of perceiving racism. Because in actual fact, we're all racist on some level.
Do you think that's true?
I do think it's true, and I don't always think it's negative. I don't think it's bad. I was talking to my producer last night, and she was asking me questions, and she just landed on whether Tainui, are you racist? And I was like, yeah, I have racist thoughts that pop up into my head all the time because I'm a product of the 80s. And a lot of the...
And a race. Sorry, we'll return to the 80s and the product of them in a moment, but... A racist thought is what? Making an assumption that somebody's going to be something because they are of a certain race or ethnicity?
That is an example of a racist thought. The racist thoughts that more often pop up into my head are things that I think are funny. And as I was saying, the comedy from the 80s was full of racism. And these little jokes will pop into my head and I'll laugh at them. And perhaps bigotry. Rather than racism. But it's they're thoughts that can potentially hurt people.
If spoken.
If they were voiced.
Right.
That's right. If they made their way out into a forum. But
And
yeah,
that's where it gets slightly controversial, right? Because the debate about racism ends up trying to censor people's thoughts in many ways.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's the danger. If we just place a blanket... concept of any racist thought, you're a bad person, then there's no way to have a discussion. I'll use an example. We did a play a couple of years ago with Auckland Theatre Company called Astro Man.
Astro Man, yeah.
And in that play, the N-word was used. And it was used by a white character describing two little Māori boys. Issue was taken with that by... somebody who worked for the company who was of African descent, and we had to have a hui and a discussion around it. The way I understood where she was coming from, but where I was coming from, was I grew up being called that word as well. In the 80s in Rotorua, a lot of people would call us the N-word, and I thought it was dangerous.
You mean in a direct... Because we know that the N-word can be often used... from one black or brown person to another black or brown person in an affectionate way.
No, this was not. Often used by the shopkeepers to my groups of my friends and I. And what I needed to say
white
to the
shopkeepers.
Yes, by the white shopkeepers where I was growing up. And what I needed to say to this person and to the companies I was working with is that that's a part of my history. If I'm forced to remove that because of somebody else's sensitivity, it means I'm also being forced to erase a part of Māori history in New Zealand. I'm being forced to erase a history that my children will never hear about. And it's important for my Māori children to understand the life that their parents had so that that's not repeated.
I mean, that would go for all kinds of bigotry, hatred and misogyny, wouldn't it?
I totally agree.
Otherwise,
absolutely agree.
You'd have to ban... practically all literature or theatre for hundreds of years.
Well, I am on the fence on a few. Not on the fence. I'm seeing people rail against Disney films now to get rid of them, and I don't know if getting rid of them is the right thing to do. Maybe put them in a different place, but to erase a history of all of those things that have equaled pain for different sects of the community. I don't think the removal of those things empower the disempowered. I think it only empowers the people who are perpetuating it.
Right. I mean, a lot said about how we need to put things in context. if you have an exhibition or a statue, if you explain how and why it came to be that way, then that will get around the whole let's get rid of it because it's offensive. But in a way, that context thing is telling people how to think.
That's exactly what I was thinking as you were saying that sentence. And I was thinking that because I've bumped into that in a rehearsal room a lot. We need to have context around things. And then I say, but then how am I knowing whether my audience are addressing their own racist thoughts or are they just thinking what I want them to think at the time? And that's a tough way to make art as well. It's a tough way to try and prompt conversation when you're dictating the conversation.
Yeah, because it's not an energizing thing. It's a shutting down thing in many ways.
Absolutely, which brings us back to that space I was saying, Arangatahi are in.
Did you say an African-American person had trouble with the N-word in Astro Man?
Yeah, she was of African descent.
And did you persuade her that it was all right? How did she end up feeling in the end?
I didn't feel like it was my place to persuade anyone. Mm-hmm. The companies wanted to talk to me about what I thought my opinion was and whether I thought I would change it. I unreservedly and unashamedly said, no, I will not change it. Part of that was... Part of it was a trigger for me, being a Māori in New Zealand and being asked by somebody who wasn't from New Zealand to erase my history. That triggered me a little bit. But then when I went dug a little bit deeper, the sort of history of our people, as I mentioned earlier, I'm a huge advocate for my children and all of our children to understand exactly where we've come from, because I think there's power in that for all of us, Māori and Pākehā.
Here's a question for you that I've been dwelling on since the last week's program, at which point I was speaking to a Scottish comedian.
Mm.
And I spoke a sentence with a Scottish accent. Probably not a very good Scottish accent, never mind. There you are. And somebody took me to task on the texts and said, why do you think it's all right to imitate a Scottish accent or a Northern English accent or an Irish accent, which one does, but you would never imitate an Asian accent or an Indian accent. What do you think about that?
I often find myself asking why those people are asking that question. Where is that question coming from? I find that we're in we sit in a space right now where we're being told that we have to ask that without actually thinking what the genesis for ourselves as individuals are. I know why I might ask that question of somebody, but in general, just doing an accent, depending on context again, but in general, doing an accent, I don't think the concept is offensive. I don't think the idea, because sometimes there could be an affectionate action.
Affectionate, exactly. So what do you think about the poor... the sports commentator that was doing that interview and he put on the Asian accent and he got dumped?
I think the space that we're sitting in at the moment, so racism requires power. If without power, it's another form of bigotry, in my opinion. And that particular situation, that the man and the place that he holds in society, as well as his job, gave him a power, which means he has the ability to shift the opinions of the people. And in that particular act, I think he made a mistake because he had shifted the perspective of some people into a negative space.
How would it have, I mean, what if he put on the Scottish accent because there was a Scottish player in the team? Would that have been bigotry?
It would depend. Oh, at the moment, no. Because our Asian whānau are hurting right now. Our Asian whānau around the world, I feel like after Black Lives Matters, the extreme racists weren't allowed to pick on the black people anymore, and they've turned their attention onto our Asian family. And right now, what I think our Asian family need is more support, or as much support as we can give. I would say exactly the same thing if our Scottish family required the same support.
Is it possible for you to be racist towards Pākehā?
Tainui? Me as Tainui?
You, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been thinking about these terms a lot. It is definitely possible for me to be bigoted towards Pākehā.
No, but you've said bigotry and racism is different.
Yeah. because I don't have the power to shift anything. A lot of the readings that I've been doing, just trying to understand where racism sits, everyone seems to agree at the moment that racism requires power. And I don't feel like... So the difference is, if I have a racist thought about a Pākehā person or I say a racist thing, their feelings will be hurt, which is very valid. But when they get over that, their life will carry on the same. There is a potential that if a Pākehā person has a racist thought or says a racist thing about me, after I've gotten over it, the potential of me getting a job might shift, or the potential of the way somebody sees me and my children in a shop will change. I still get followed around shops. My children still get followed around shops, especially bookstores. I find that's where it happens the most. After my feelings or their feelings have shifted, they have the ability to change my life more than I have the ability to change theirs.
So it comes down to power.
That's where I think the racism sits.
All right. Because I was going to say, you're not a powerless person. You are a successful writer and an actor and a director. So you're not talking about that kind of power?
No. More in terms of the societal constructs that are in place that react to the voice of our Pākehā whānau or our white whānau in a quicker way than they react to our non-white whānau.
Mm. Are you able to be... Are Māori racist against Māori?
Absolutely.
How does that work?
Well, for me, it feels like that's quite a balanced power situation. And often when Māori are derogatory towards other Māori, it's... See, that one really upsets me because it only hurts us. It really weakens ourselves when we get into those battles. And I'll give you an example, actually. It's been on my heart and on my mind for a while, and it's the television show Vegas. There's lots of conversation happening around that, whether...
I've only seen the trailers for that, but it looks a bit like Once Were Warriors on steroids.
I don't know if that's a bad description, but when Michael decided to make that and he got the funding for it and was created, in my opinion, Michael Bennett is allowed to make any show he wants to, and it upsets me when other Māori tell him he should be making other things. And then when Kyle did a beautiful job directing it, that should have been supported. And when all of the Māori who worked on it should be supported, and... That has been happening to a degree, but what hasn't been happening is the white holders of power haven't had a voice in the disruption that's been happening in the Māori television industry. And I find that disheartening because we have ended up fighting amongst ourselves, and that's not where the problem is. We don't have a problem with ourselves. We are inside a system that doesn't empower us to make our own decisions and doesn't empower us to hold the purse strings, which we all know that's where the power sits. But we are the ones fighting amongst ourselves. And that breaks my heart. That's where I think the racism between ourselves, because we say nasty things and we're not sure. Well, it feels like it's uncertain why we're attacking each other, but we've got nowhere else to fight.
Yeah, can't you have a range of opinions without turning it into some kind of attack on yourself?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can. In these particular instances, because we're talking about, like you said, Once Were Warrior on steroids, there's a huge sector of our community who's still feeling pain having brought up in those spaces. And for some people, seeing a television show like Vegas is healing. And for some people, it's really damaging. And we can't cater to everybody, but when we have so few Māori in positive roles on television, that's where the pain comes from, and that's where the argument comes from. And I'm not saying that Michael needed to make anything other than he made. It's just a conversation around where that mamai is stemming when people have these conversations and why they turn into arguments, because things are still very raw when it comes to New Zealand's perspective on what we as Māori are like.
Excellent to talk to you. I wish you all the best with Racist Anonymous, which begins on May the 18th at Te Pō Theatre.
That's right.
Lovely. Thank you, Tainui Tukiwaho. Very interesting conversation.